update on Jordan Matthews' coach, where he is, stands right now as far as his possibility to play center?
Yeah, he'll be day-to-day. You know, he did get cleared to practice, so he will be out of practice today. He'll be listed as limited, and we'll just take it one day at a time at this point. So.
Why don't you just run down, if you could, the guys that are injured practicing?
Sure, yeah. So will not practice will be Charles Clay and Ramon Humber. And then limited will be, as mentioned, Jordan Matthews, E.J. Gaines, and then Leonard Johnson as well. And then Cordy Glenn, just to continue with the list, will be full participation today.
Hey, Sean, what do you know about Ryan Fitzpatrick, in case he's the guy? We know a lot about him. What do you know about him?
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I've had limited opportunities to go against him. He'd probably say the same thing against our defenses and the defenses I've had over the years, which is a little bit unique, having been around the league as long as I have and as long as Ryan has there. So that said, good quarterback. We all saw what happened after Jameis went out and how he brought that team back. And, so very capable player. His career speaks for itself in terms of what he's done over the years and how long he's played. He seems like a guy that is definitely a competitor and loves to compete. So whichever quarterback plays, they've got two good, solid quarterbacks there that can win games for him.
As a defensive coach, when you're going against a quarterback, do you like going against a guy who's going to take some chances and, you know, because as a defensive guy, maybe you can take advantage of those types of things. I mean, some guys are just game managers, and they're just going to give you take what you give them. This guy is going to try to push the envelope. Do you like that as a defensive coach, going against a guy like that?
You know, I mean, there's obviously pros and cons to that. So, I know Ryan's a good quarterback. I really do. And wherever he's played, I know he was here for some time and certainly well liked in this building, well regarded for what he did. That said, you know, we're going to go up against two different quarterbacks potentially, Sal, and we've got to be ready for either one. The biggest thing for us is that we play sound, fundamental football.
Where do you see Deontay Thompson fitting into this team right now?
Well, I like his speed. You know, you look at what he did in his time in Chicago. You see the ability to separate and the speed element is certainly a factor there and an upside. And then how physical he is and his willingness to block in the run game and also play special teams. So. Felt like it was a good addition, and credit Brandon and his staff. They're really doing a good job with keeping a close eye on the waiver wire and trying to continue to improve our roster any way we can at this point.
How much did his familiarity with Tyrod factor in? Because he spent four training camps, I think, with him.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously know each other. I can't say that put us over the top or anything. The familiarity, to your point, Joe, is nice to have. And, already he knows some of the players in the building here. And so that obviously that familiarity was, certainly helped in this case, but was not the deciding factor.
Can a guy like that get caught up to speed quick enough in order to actually be a factor on Sunday?
Yeah, we'll see. He's been the good part about DTs. He's been in some different systems, so some of it's just terminology. I know he met with Coach McGagan yesterday, and they went through it, and they'll go through it again his second iteration today. So I'm anxious to see him out on the practice field. Love his energy, and get him going here.
When you spent the bye week self-scouting and evaluating and even evaluating players, how do you evaluate Tyrod Taylor, knowing that he's not had a receiving core together? Really, it's been a jumble since August. How do you evaluate Tyrod Taylor and what he's done so far?
Well, you evaluate everyone, both individually and then together as a team, and you obviously keep that in mind. That said, you want to see the offense move, regardless of this is true of any player. You're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. And on the days where you don't have your A game, how do we affect the overall team? And whether it's a quarterback, like I said, or any position. So Tyrod's had some what I would determine to be, you know, very, very good days and what I call playoff caliber moments. And so, you know, we've got to continue to grow as a football team, and we look forward to doing that going forward with Tyrod as our quarterback.
Has he had enough of those very, very good days?
Well, I don't think we've had enough as a team. And so, you know, as that goes. So if we have at this point, we'd be sitting here at, you know, 5-0, and we're 3-2. So a lot of room for improvement. That starts with me.
Coach, I know that you did not have to game plan for him specifically because you're the side of the ball, but you've seen Gerald McCoy the last 6 years twice a year. What kind of player is he? What can he do with game plan?
He's a phenomenal player. You know, he can wreck a game plan at that three technique position with his penetration, his size. He's a force to be reckoned with, not only in the pass game but also the run game. So that's a little bit unique. You don't usually find a player that's the total package like he is. And then being in the division like I was, I had a front row seat to watch how he, you know, basically disrupted the running game over the years in Carolina, and then at times the pass game. So, you know, we've got to make sure we do a good job there.
Do they move? It looked like they move him around a little bit, though. I know he usually plays that three technique, but he's kind of a little bit all over the place inside the interior, right?
Yeah, they do a good job. You know, Coach Smith has been at this for a number of years, so he knows what he's doing and does a good job. And moving McCoy around is part of their overall plan. Yeah.
Hey, Sean, I'm always fascinated by the bottom of the roster moves that are made every week in the league. You guys do a lot; every team does. When you're turning over that part of the roster constantly, I know you're trying to find the diamond in the rough. But is it more for getting guys to practice, help you get your main guys ready when you're turning that over? So because the guys are here in 1 week, they're gone the next. What is the philosophy at the bottom of the roster for those guys that you constantly churn over?
Well, I think it's, you know, really us evolving as a team. And when you stop doing that, man, boy, you better be really confident in what you've got. Or it's either that or there's just nothing out there that you feel is better potentially even than what you have. I mean, the good part about us right now, and Brandon and his staff do a phenomenal job of really scouring who's out there and who might be able to help us. And then there's times when you bring those players in or potential players and you take them through the gamut and from a tryout standpoint, and you don't feel like they could upgrade who we are as a team. And then there's other times where we feel like, hey, let's take a look at this player. And sometimes it's a short amount of time. Sometimes it could be, you know, last for, you know, years. And that's really what you're looking for. But, you know, you're adding competition all the time, adding to your roster, trying to improve your overall football team in this case. And, you know, I think that's healthy. Healthy and just with the approach. And our philosophy is to do that. You know, I think it's a good deal overall.
You have five offensive tackles in your roster right now. Where do you see all those guys fitting in?
Well, that's a good problem to have. You know, that's a position of value across the league. Those guys are hard to find. And all five of those guys we have a tremendous amount of confidence in when you look at what they've done and where they've played over the years. And so I feel like we're in a good position. Those guys, like I said, are hard to find. I feel like we're sitting in a pretty good position right there.
Do you worry about by saying that, do you – how much are you suggesting that one of those guys can be traded for the next couple weeks before the deadline?
We look at everything. We honestly do. We look at everything. We get calls all the time about guys, and I know those guys can play, and I have a tremendous amount of confidence in them.
Would you ever reach a point where you'd worry about chemistry if the defense is carrying the day and the offense is not holding up its end?
No, I don't worry about these guys, not with this team. Not with these guys, and that's why the DNA is important, and the guys that we bring on board is that they're very unselfish. They put the team first, and there's been moments for the offense as well, and there's been moments where the defense has played well, special teams has played well. So the greatest part about good football teams is that they're very unselfish, and they evolve throughout the year so that. 1 week it's the offense carrying the team. The next week it's the special teams. Next week it may in fact be the defense, and that's what good teams do.
John, you got two in a row at home and three of your next four at home. I wonder how much of your messaging this week is about defending your home field playing well at home.
That's a big part of it. That's been a big part of it really since day one, our first home game in particular, where we talk a lot about how that that formula of winning at home gets us to where we're trying to go, or one of the areas, one of the goals we're trying to attain, which is to get into the playoffs. And that's important that we play well at home. There's no greater fans in the NFL than the fans of the Buffalo Bills, and we love playing in Western New York, and this is a unique setting, and I think everyone in here knows that. You know, it's just there's tradition here, and playing in that stadium in front of those fans, everything that happens pregame that leads to kickoff, you know, that's all a lot of fun. I'll tell you what I love doing is going over to that RV lot after, either before a game or after a game. There's some pretty special people out there.
Last season, Preston Brown caught a lot of heat for miscommunications, and when the defense struggled, he took a lot of the blame. This year, miscommunication hasn't been an issue on defense. Is he kind of flying under the radar in what he's been able to do at the middle linebacker spot?
Yeah, you said Preston, right? Yeah, no, he's had a good year. You know, it starts with how he's taken care of himself off the field. And I think that's been well documented with his conditioning, with his weight, and he's done a good job really picking up Josh the defense in a short amount of time so that we can communicate. I mean, everything goes through him. He's the antenna of the defense, and then it gets communicated either front or to the back end. So he's done a nice job so far.
How have you liked Sean Trell Henderson since he's been in? I mean, of course, only the one day of practice, but how do you weigh putting too much on him too quickly and everything like that when trying to get ready for the game?
Yeah, we continually evaluate all of the guys, and Chantrell in this case no different. I mean, obviously he's been out for 5 weeks there, the suspension. You know, he looks in good shape. He looks like he's picked up the offense in terms of right where he left off with training camp when he left us there. So, you know, that's been good to see, and he's doing a good job in the weight room, in the training room, all that type of stuff. And so I'm encouraged by his professionalism at this point.
Sean, when you reviewed your own team last week, what did you like and not like about how the offense has performed on third down? And what do you think about just the breakdown and running pass on third down?
Well, I mean, third down normally, run pass, unless it's third and short, you're looking at a known passing situation. That said, I think as an overall team, we can stand and get better on third down in those situations. Number one, on offense, staying out of third and long, and then and I'm stating the obvious here, and then on defense, making sure we put them in third and long. Those obviously should increase their probability one way or the other of success. So that's what we're that was one of the big takeaways on both sides of the ball, that we need to improve on third down.
Hey, Sean, one more thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, how do you think Tyrod should attack that, his mindset on third down? Is it worth throwing a riskier throw for a first down, or does, I mean, you like to not try to force things? How do you balance that with them to try to get a more tougher throw?
Well, you take what the defense gives you. Obviously, you want the first down, but I'm trying to get a feel for your question here so that I answer it and where you might be going with it. But obviously, you want the first down, but there's cost-benefit sometimes to throwing into traffic versus not. Based on the situation. So there's a lot of variables that get factored into that.
Okay, so one more thing on the bottom of the roster thing. Is it everyone comfortable? Like you, Deontay Thompson, you said you cut him. You didn't want him. Now you bring him back. Some of these guys come back and forth two or three times. Is that ever uncomfortable for a coach or maybe a GM? Like, we didn't want you then, but we want you back now. Now we're going to cut you. You know what I mean?
Well, in some situations, I mean, you know, it happened before I got here. In other situations, maybe not. And the biggest part is we're up front. You know, I believe in honest and forthright communication. And, you know, and then creating a culture of family that these guys know, and particularly new guys that just got here, for example, that, hey, let's you know, introduce you to the team, to your new teammates. Let's get to know you. And let's, you know, welcome to the group, welcome to the family, and their families as well. Welcome to our family. And that's the culture that we are building here, and I think we're going in the right direction with that. So to your question, so I think it minimizes, if you will, some of that awkwardness. So it's not, you know, maybe a better question for the players, but at this point, you know, I feel like it's been smooth.
Coach, what are the challenges of facing two really good receivers but with such different skill sets, like Mike Evans – and Sean Jackson? And also on that, after I know he bounced back after the couple balls that Trey gave up against A.J. Green. Is he kind of chomping at the bit a little bit to get out there and, you know, against a guy like Mike Evans or DeSean Jackson?
Well, they've got weapons. You know, I mentioned this the other day. They've got weapons all over the field with not only with Evans and DeSean, but also also, you know, 84 Brayton in terms of what he does, and then Howard, and so, and now their running game, you know, and then Coach Cutter does a phenomenal job offensively. They've got a top offense, and with a good solid quarterback and a backup quarterback that, you know, has won games in this league for a long time. So, you know, we'll have our work cut out for us. I know Trey is anxious to get back. He's a competitive guy, but he also learns. He does a great job of learning from earlier experiences in this case. So I'm anxious to see him this week.
With Gordy, two more questions. Obviously, you kind of eased him into coming back. You didn't start him in week five because you were kind of being cautious there. What's maybe this process now after the bye week? You just had a little extra time to rehab and trying to get him back out there at left tackle.
Yeah, I like where we are right now in with respect to Cordy's progress. You know, we'll see a little bit more today and this week in terms of the entire body of work. I feel like he's headed in the right direction and on a consistent path towards getting back. I think the arrow is pointing in the right direction right now.
Sean, have you ruled out in your mind the idea of Jordan Matthews playing this Sunday?
We're going to look at that, and that's where the day-to-day part comes in. You know, we'll just take it one day at a time right now.